The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 14, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 10th, 2013, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tata Anyata Kinchana Yat Vivakshata Pratak Drisha Tatkrita Rupa Namavi Nakarhichit Kvapi Cha Dushtita Mati Labheta Vata Ahata Nau Eva Aspadam Tatonyaka Tatonyata Kinchana Yad Vivakshata Pratak Dishas Tatkita Rupa Namadi Nakarha Chit Kvapi Da Dushtita Matir Labeta Vatahata Nar Ivaspadam Tatonyata Kinchana Yad Vivakshata Pritak Dishas Tat Krita Rupa Namavi Nakar Hachit Kvapi Chadushtita Matir Labeta Vata Hata Naur Ivaspadam Labeta Vata Hata Naur Ivaspadam Tata From that. Anyata Apart Kinchana Something Yet Whatsoever Vivakshata Desiring to describe Pratak Separately Drisha Vision Tatkrita Reactionary to that Rupa Form Namavi By names Nakarhichit Never Kvapi Any Cha And Dushtita Mati Oscillating mind Labeta Gains Vata Ahata Troubled by the wind Now Boat Eva Like Aspadam Place Translation and purport By His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Whatever you desire to describe That is separate in vision from the Lord Simply reacts with different forms, names, and results to agitate the mind as the wind agitates a boat which has no resting place. Purport. Sri Vyasadeva is the editor of all descriptions of the Vedic literatures, and thus he has described transcendental realization in different ways, namely by fruitive activities, speculative knowledge and mystic power and devotional service. Besides that, in his various Puranas, he has recommended the worship of so many demigods in different forms and names. The result is that people in general are puzzled how to fix their minds in service of the Lord. They are always disturbed about finding the real path of self-realization. Srila Narada Deva is stressing this particular defect in the Vedic literatures compiled by Vyasadeva. And thus he is trying to emphasize describing everything in relation with the Supreme Lord and no one else. In fact, there is nothing existent except the Lord. The Lord is manifested in different expansions. He is the root of the complete tree. He is the stomach of the complete body. Pouring water on the root is the right process to water the tree, as much as feeding the stomach supplies energy to all parts of the body. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva should not have compiled any Puranas other than the Bhagavad Purana, because a slight deviation from that may create havoc for self-realization. If a slight deviation can create such havoc, then what to speak of deliberate expansion of the idea separate from the absolute truth, personality of Godhead? The most defective part of worshipping demigods is it creates a definite conception of pantheism, ending disastrously in many religious sects, detrimental to the progress of the principles of the Bhagavatam, which alone can give the accurate direction for self-realization in eternal relation with the personality of Godhead by devotional service and transcendental love. The example of the boat disturbed by whirling wind is suitable in this respect. The diverted mind of the pantheist can never reach the perfection of self-realization due to the disturbed condition of the selection of object. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gudun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitam Vidantam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladira Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivashesh Shunyavadi Pashtanjadeshatanine. The other morning we were coming from our residential quarters to one program, and on the way we saw a big procession of people, a bunch of ladies actually. There was one man playing the drum and a whole huge flock of ladies. They're all going to the Kali temple, Goddess Kali temple, to worship Goddess Kali. You see, this is an example. Why are they coming here? You see, we have programs here every day. Why they just go to the Kali temple? Why they're not coming here? You see, actually, Prabhupada is blaming Srila Vyasadeva right here. He's actually blaming him. There's a defect. He should not have called these other Puranas. Prabhupada directly saying this. He should not have done this. It's a very strong statement of Prabhupada. They criticized. He says here, how does he state it here? Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva should not have compiled any Purana other than the Bhagavad Purana. It's a very strong statement by Prabhupada. If you look in these other Puranas, you'll see why Prabhupada said this. Just like in the Shiva Purana, it says that Shiva is the Supreme. It directly states Shiva is the Supreme. So people get confused. Well, this Purana says Shiva is the Supreme. This Purana says that Krishna is the Supreme. So I guess they're all the Supreme. People can draw that conclusion. Therefore, we need the explanation of the Acharyas to help us understand. We need that explanation. The Puranas are... there's 18 of them, and they're divided into the three modes of nature. 6 for one mode, 6 for another mode, and 6 for another mode. So, these other Puranas, There are Puranas in the mode of ignorance and the mode of passion, which are meant for people in those modes to help them gradually progress. So the Shiva Purana, I forget if it's passion or ignorance, but it's meant for someone in that mode of nature to help them become, make gradual progress within that mode so that eventually they can come to the mode of goodness and the pure mode of goodness, which is the Bhagavad Purana. So the self-realization means beyond the modes of nature. One has to understand that becoming self-realized means beyond the influence of the modes of nature. Therefore, if you want self-realization, you have to come to the Bhagavad Purana. You see? You have to come to the Bhagavad Purana. Because these other Puranas are meant for people on a lower level to help them gradually progress. You may say, well, what's the whole logic behind them? I mean, it's a defect in one sense, but there's also a methodology in them. It's compared to a psychiatrist. Some patient comes to him, he says, doctor, I got elephants running circles around me. You see? He instead of just saying, oh, that's crazy, you're nuts. There's no elephants running around you. And the person will think, this doctor doesn't understand me, I'm not going to come back to him again. You see? He doesn't understand, I got elephants running all around me. So the doctor uses one tactic. He says, oh, you do? Really? You sit down here on my psychiatric couch. Let me get up my notepad. Please describe to me all these elephants you have running around you. How many are there? Are they big? Are they small? What colors are they? You know, which are they going clockwise or counterclockwise? You see, the psychiatrist buys into his psychosis as if it's reality. To analyze, go deep into his psychotic situation. And this way he wins the trust of the person, and gradually then he can bring him out of this psychotic condition. So the Vedic literatures do that for persons who are crazy with material desires. It says, okay, well, here's how you can fulfill your material desire. You see, you worship this demigod, you see. In that way they develop some faith in the Vedic process, and then gradually. But actually the best thing is not to mess around with all that. Why remain in a crazy state of consciousness being bewildered by material desires? The best thing is to realize, what is the use of all these material desires, you see? There's no need to go through all these gradual steps. Simply come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. Come in contact with the bona fide scriptures which give the conclusive knowledge of the Vedic wisdom, the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, etc. Come in contact with a bona fide devotee of the Lord who can explain to you there's no need for all these gradual processes which are going to keep you in the cycle of birth and death. Why don't you just surrender to Krishna now and come out of all of this confusion and delusion and illusion? So it's very proper that Prabhupada would find fault with Srila Vyasadeva. Because the fact is, people are bewildered. Especially in the Hindu community, people are so bewildered by Durga and Shiva and this god and that god. They're so bewildered by it, they don't come to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna says it's for those who have lost their intelligence. It's demigod worship. Those of us in the Western countries, Europe, America, we weren't into demigod worship. So Prabhupada just came and said, surrender to Krishna. Said, okay, we never got the demigod idea was never a factor for us, you see. Christians, Jewish boys and girls, Prabhupada just came and said, Krishna's the god that you've been worshiping in your Bible. He's the actual god, so just surrender to him. The Bible doesn't have any demigod worship idea, you see. So for the European and Americans, we never got caught up in all this demigod thing, you see. This is, the Hindu community is caught up in this demigod thing. So for us, we didn't even know about these other Puranas until later on. We just knew Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That was the only thing we knew about Vedic literature, what Prabhupada had given us. So he said, all right, Krishna, you believe in God? Oh, well, Krishna is God, now surrender to him. Okay, Jai Prabhupada. You see, it's a simple thing. But for Indian people, they get, for the Hindu community, they get, it's very bewildering for them, because they think, well, I got so many gods on my altar. I got Shiva, I got Durga, I got Krishna, I have this and that. I got Ganesh and Hanuman, and they're all God. You see, for the Hindu community, it's very difficult sometimes to convince them to surrender to Krishna, because they see all the gods in a relative way. His Prabhupada calls it pantheism. Pantheism means many, many gods. But what is actually pantheism? What is it actually saying, the pantheistic philosophy of the Hindu community? What is it actually saying? If they're all the gods of the Supreme, if they're all God, that means there is no Supreme God. So actually, pantheism is a roundabout way of establishing atheism. It's like, how many Supreme Courts do you have here in Mauritius? You have 20 Supreme Courts? How many? One. How many do we have in the U.S.? One. Every country has one Supreme Court. Not many. You can have many subsidiary courts. But there is always, in every nation, there is only one Supreme Court, because if there's more than one, it's not the Supreme Court anymore. So as soon as you say there are many gods and they're all the Supreme, they're none of them the Supreme. You understand? None of them are the Supreme. Supreme means one without a second. So pantheism is simply another form of atheism. So Prabhupada is very, one can easily derive, if one doesn't take guidance from a bona fide spiritual master, one can easily derive a pantheistic understanding from the Vedic literatures, which indeed actually boils down to an atheistic understanding. That's why Shankara's philosophy is very popular in the Hindi community, this idea of it's all one, which is just covered atheism. So we really have to understand what Narada Muni is, the point that Narada Muni is making. He says, whatever you desire to describe that is separate in vision from the Lord simply reacts with different forms, names, and results to agitate the mind. So Prabhupada is simply repeating the criticism. He's not on his own making criticism. He's repeating the criticism of Narada Muni. Narada Muni is, you see, he is in a position to chastise Srila Vyasadeva. The guru can chastise the disciple. That is his position. So if Narada Muni chastises Srila Vyasadeva, that's proper thing. That what you've described, all these different things, it's an agitation for the mind. He's chastising his disciple, you see. So Prabhupada is repeating the point, actually, of Narada Muni. Not concocting some new thing. He's simply repeating the point that's being made in this verse. So Srila Vyasadeva rectified his mistake. He gave us the Bhagavatam. You see, he rectified his mistake. So therefore, we have to understand the Vedic wisdom through the Bhagavatam. We should not think the Bhagavatam is on the same level with the Shiva Purana, the Devi Purana, this Purana, that Purana. It's not all the same. These other Puranas have not made it clear what is the ultimate conclusion of Vedic wisdom. Krishna says, Vedaishta Tarvairaham Eva Vejo Vedanta Krit Veda Ved Eva Chaham. By all the Vedas I am to be known. So Vedic wisdom is meant to bring us to the point of Krishna. If we're not coming to the point of Krishna, then we are misunderstanding, we are misapplying the Vedic wisdom. So now we have some questions here, we'll take them. While Srila Prabhupada is criticizing Vyasadeva, it was an offense. How you can ask such a question? I mean, this question is an offense. This question is very offensive. Did Prabhupada commit an offense? I just want to tear that thing up. It makes me angry. This question makes me angry. Did Prabhupada commit an offense? What attitude do you have about Srila Prabhupada? Did Prabhupada commit an offense? This is nonsense. It's a nonsense question. How you can make such a question? Did Prabhupada commit an offense? My God. Prabhupada is simply repeating Narada Muni's point, that's all. There's any priority in the four regulative principles. I've never heard any Prabhupada's make a priority. But if we had to give some priority, sex life would definitely be a winner. Because it's described by the Bhagavatam, Yan Matanadi Griya Medi Sukham Mitu Cham. That sex life, you see, is considered the number one pleasure for the materialists. Somebody can become a vegetarian, you see, but they cannot give up that illicit sex. So if we had to prioritize it, I would definitely prioritize sex life as the number one thing. Krishna clearly stated that one should become the devotee of his devotee. Otherwise, one is not his devotee. Arjuna is the first example of disobedience to the order of Krishna. What sort of question is this? By accepting Krishna directly. What sort of question is this? You're criticizing Arjuna? That he's these questions are very... This is very disrespectful, offensive question. I don't know if it's the same person. This is how you can say such a thing about Arjuna, because he's a devotee of Krishna directly, therefore he's not a devotee of Krishna. How can you say that Arjuna is not a devotee of Krishna? This is very offensive. Arjuna is an eternal associate of the Lord, and you're saying he's not a devotee? This is very offensive. How you can ask such offensive questions like this? He told Arjuna that. That's the argument. But how you could even think that? How you could say that? You could say, "I don't understand." You could ask the question in a different way. Please clarify what this means. But to say that Arjuna is disobeying Krishna, that's offensive. You have to ask the questions with proper etiquette. Don't make these offenses. That Prabhupada has offended. If Prabhupada's committed an offense, Arjuna is offensive. Don't make your questions like this. This is offensive to make questions about great pure devotees like this. This is very offensive. You have to learn how to ask the questions with proper etiquette. Otherwise, you get reactions for these things. So, Krishna, if you're in the position of Arjuna, you can be a devotee directly of Krishna. Let's put it that way. But we're not in that position. If you're in Arjuna's position, you can be directly a devotee of Krishna. That's all right. If you're an eternal associate of the Lord, that's okay. But if you're not in that position, you better be a devotee of the devotee, you see. But don't think that Arjuna is a disobedient person by becoming directly... He's offensive by directly becoming a devotee of Krishna. How you can ask such a question? You have to learn the etiquettes. My goodness, how you can ask questions like this? Why does Vyasadeva deviate when he himself is a literary incarnation of God? These are actually, we have to understand this as transcendental pastime. This is Arjuna has his pastime of falling into Maya. So this is a pastime, Srila Vyasadeva. We have to think like that. is there something wrong whenever we worship the demigods as Vaishnavas and request for their blessings to enable us to progress in the path of devotional service? No, that's okay. They are great devotees. Even if some of them appear, Shiva and Brahma are pure devotees, described. We can certainly ask their blessings for progress in devotional service. Just like it's stated, Ganesh is the remover of all obstacles. So one can say, my dear Ganesh, please remove all the obstacles in the pathway of my achieving pure devotional service. There's nothing wrong praying like that. But to approach them to fill material desires, you see, that's the bad thing. After the banana tree has produced bananas, we cut down the tree. Are we not taking a life? Sure. If you're killing a living tree, you're definitely taking a life. It's a fact. If there's some necessity in Krishna's service to do such a thing, then it can be done. But if it's not necessary, don't do that.
Banana tree comes from the root also, it expands.
Root.
From the root.
So it's not really killed. It's still living in the root. Mm. Yeah, I'm not a botanist, but... Can the demigods... But the thing is, we sometimes devotees do kill trees. Prabhupada was very angry at one time in Dallas. There was a big, beautiful tree in the courtyard of our Dallas temple, 5430 Gurley Avenue. And a Texas storm came through and the tree was knocked over under the temple building. And like, so instead of thinking how to straighten the tree out, which could have been done, you know, you can get some people to come in and straighten, they cut it down. That beautiful old tree, maybe a 150-year-old tree or something. They cut it down. Prabhupada was so angry. He said, this is your brute Western mentality. He was so chastising the devotees for what they had done with that tree. So don't kill a tree unless there's some really necessary thing to do. Don't ever unnecessarily kill anything. Very important principle. Can the demigods help people come to Krishna consciousness? People are generally diverted by the idea of the demigods from Krishna consciousness. So we have to encourage the people to chant Hare Krishna. That's the necessity. When writing the Vedas and Puranas, it appeared that Srila Vyasadeva did not get the guidance and permission of Narada Muni. Yeah, obviously he had done it without consulting with his spiritual master, and he had to get rectified by his spiritual master. Sometimes a disciple may do things. He thinks they're right, but then the spiritual master comes and says, no, this is wrong, you see. So if he's a sincere disciple, he'll take the rectification just like Narada, just like Vyasadeva did. Sometimes the devotee sincerely tries to do something which he feels is right, but then later on it's revealed that actually was the wrong thing. And so because he's a sincere disciple, he takes the correction and rectifies his position just like Srila Vyasadeva. So we can learn a very good lesson from Srila Vyasadeva. Just like the first Vyas Puja celebration the devotees tried to do back in around 1970 in Japan. You may have heard the story. But devotees didn't know what they were doing. And it was a disaster. Prabhupada said, where's the pushpa? Which means flowers. But they didn't know what pushpa meant. They thought Prabhupada was talking about pushpa, pushpana rice. So one devotee ran to the kitchen. He was cooking pushpan and rice. And Prabhupada is sitting there. There's actually a TV crew filming this thing. Prabhupada said, where's the offerings? Where's the flowers? There was nothing properly arranged. And Prabhupada, this is not Vyas Puja. This is a disgrace. Prabhupada chastised. It was all being filmed. This is a disgrace. And he stormed out. He walked out of the Vyas Puja celebration. He just left. This is not Vyas Puja. This is a disgrace. And he stormed out of there. He didn't come back. He boycotted the so-called Vyas Puja. Prabhupada was so angry. And then the devotees went over to his quarters, you know, where he was staying, humbly begging forgiveness for all their offenses. Prabhupada was so sorry. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't understand how to properly worship you on your appearance day. So please tell us what we should do. And then Prabhupada very lovingly and kindly told them exactly how to do Vyas Puja. And then they did it the next day, and Prabhupada was pleased. So sometimes, and we just don't know, devotees don't know what they're doing. And they have to be corrected, that's all. And if they're a sincere disciple, they will take it. Okay, I made a mistake, now I'm going to find out how to do it right. And then they take instructions from the guru or from senior devotees, and then the next day they do it right. So in this way, we have to be humble. And if we're corrected, we shouldn't think, well, I'm giving up Krishna consciousness. That happens. Some nonsense disciples sometimes, spiritual master gives an order, and they say, well, if you give me that order, I reject you as my guru. You see? What kind of disciple is that? If you give me that order, I reject you as my guru. In other words, I'm the authority, and you tell me what I want you to tell me. Otherwise, you're no longer my spiritual master. I'm the master, and you're my servant. Who's the master, and who's the servant? You see? We knew with Prabhupada, he's our master, and that's it. He can tell us anything and we'll take it. He can tell us anything, doesn't matter what he tells us. Whatever Prabhupada says is right. And whatever, and we know that we're in an illusion and Prabhupada is our authority. Whatever he tells us there's no question of arguing with Prabhupada. Whatever he says, he's right. And we're wrong. Unless we're in agreement with Prabhupada, we are wrong. That's all. That's the understanding of being a disciple. We learned that from Prabhupada. He wouldn't tolerate any nonsense from us. He might be a little lenient in the beginning if we make a mistake once. Twice, a little bit more, but the third time, wham! That happened with, what was his name? Nanda Kumar Prabhu, when he was Prabhupada's servant. One day in his service, he made a mistake and Prabhupada let it go. The next day, he made the mistake again, a mild rebuke. The third day, Prabhupada really let him have it. He made the same mistake on the third day in a row. Prabhupada really let him have it. And the third time he did it. First time, Prabhupada didn't say a word. Second time, a mild rebuke. The third time, he really got heavy with him. So the spiritual master can be lenient. But he can also be very heavy, and we have to be ready. For whatever the spiritual master may give us, we have to be ready. Otherwise, we are not disciples. Okay, let's see. We got some more here. Srila Vyasadeva could have reworked the Puranas for the benefit of all mankind. In other words, go in and rewrite them after he got chastised. No. What if the disciples of bogus gurus abide the same mood that whatever the guru says we accept? Yeah, they do that. The guru says it's okay to have illicit sex. They go, Jai Guru Dave. They're very happy with their bogus gurus who give them all facility for sense gratification. One guru said, take LSD. Jai Gurudev. One guru said that Krishna has had the humor to, in the Kali Yuga, Krishna has had the humor to emerge as a pill. LSD pill. That's Krishna's incarnation in the age of Kali. One guru said that. An Indian guru said that. You see, can you imagine? The disciples, they like their Guru Maharaj very much. LSD, hippie disciples, you see. Now our guru is very nice. Krishna is incarnated as the LSD pill. You see. So you have to have a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, the spiritual master goes to the darkest region of ignorance and the disciples go with him. One has to be very careful to have a bona fide spiritual master. Prabhupada saved us. I was a disciple of a bogus guru and Prabhupada saved me. Of course, I wasn't really following him because I could see that his teachings were useless. I tried out his self-realization program and it was absolutely a joke. So I gave it up, and within about 2 or 3 days I completely rejected his whole teaching. Actually, I tried several gurus and I rejected them because their teachings were absolutely useless, impotent, waste of time. I wanted to find a guru who could liberate me from this material existence, wouldn't leave me stuck in material consciousness. And Prabhupada was the only one who could do that. He's the only one who could liberate me from this material world. No one else could liberate me. You see? So that's the bona fide spiritual man. He can take away all your anxieties. It's very easy to find a guru who can pick your pocket, take away your money. It's very difficult to find a guru who can take away your anxieties. But if you find a guru who can do that, you should surrender, because that is a bona fide spiritual master. He can take away all the anxieties out of the heart and give you complete happiness. One argument that the pundit put to me was, if you have material problem, you should not disturb the Supreme Lord. I can do the needful for you. Please comment. Who was this rascal pundit? Don't approach the Lord, just come to me. And that he's offering to solve your material problems also shows that he's a rascal. That is not the business of guru. You see? It's like there's one pastime. And probably they were going on the train in South India, and the first class car where there's four seats, and the Indian trains, the first class compartment. So Prabhupada was in there with some sannyasis, and the word went all over the train. There was a guru in the train, a very advanced guru was on the train. So many villagers, they came there outside the door, you know, wanting to get in for darshan, you see. And the disciples knew these people, they just come for their material desires. They didn't want Prabhupada to be bothered. So they were trying to keep the people, they didn't want the people to come in. The sannyasi had to go out to use the toilet or something. He would open the door and close it really quick so none of the villagers could get in, because they didn't want Prabhupada to be bothered. So finally, the door opened and Prabhupada saw the villager out there wanting to come in. So if I'd let him come. Prabhupada is so kind. Let them come. So this villager came in. He said, "Oh, Swamiji, I'm so happy to have your darshan. And by the way, I have this pain in my knee. Can you cure this pain in my knee?" And Prabhupada said, that is not my business. But what I can do, the blessing I can give you," he said, "all these sannyasis are sitting around, and the blessing I can give you is I can make you like these boys." He said, "Oh, Swamiji, it was very nice to meet you." He got out there really quick. He was afraid Prabhupada to put a spell on him and turn him into a sannyasi. So, that is not the business of the guru to cure your knee problem. You know, here, I'll put my hand on your knee and bless you that your knee pain will go away. This is not the business of a pundit, a Vedic teacher, a spiritual master. So this pundit, he's disgusting. First of all, he's saying, "Don't approach the Supreme Lord, approach me." And then he's saying, "You approach me to solve your material problems." This is not a pundit. It's simply a rascal. So these are the caliber of pundits you have in this country. Then you You have to teach the people not to follow these so-called pundits. They're simply rascals. Teach them to follow the real pundit, Srila Prabhupada. You see, he is the supreme pundit and learned pundit. Srila Prabhupada, we should all just simply follow Prabhupada and those who are purely teaching Prabhupada like Arjuna Prabhu. We should follow these great pundits, you see. We should follow these great pundits, not these rascal pundits. Okay, so I think our time is up now. So, yeah?
Someone should ask the pundit that if he can solve all the material problems, can he save someone from the death?
Panaji, you cured my knee. Can you liberate me from death? Yeah. Even if he can solve your knee problem and solve your dog has a stomach ache or something and he cured your dog's stomach ache, then what is the use of such pundits? They can't cure the disease of death. You see, what is the use? Go to Arjuna Prabhu. He can cure your disease of death. He'll teach you to surrender, to follow Prabhupada's teaching. You see, we need to go to pundits like Arjuna Pandit. You see, to get delivered. Not these so-called pundits. Those who are following in the footsteps of Nimai Pandit, you see. Those are the real pundits. The Gaudiya Vaishnava.
People were running to Sai Baba, but he could not cure his own disease.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody was running to him to cure all kind of ailments, but he could not cure himself.
He was forced to die with the laws of nature. The so-called person who could cure all my problems, all my diseases. He succumbed to disease himself, is it? So we should not be misguided by these rascals. We should actually take shelter of the great pure devotees. In this way, become happy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
This great Sankarsan Dasa Dikari Maharaj ki jai.